This up here, suitcases and the globe representing the world, obviously. Might want to turn the microphone down just a little. There you go. Is that good? All right. So what I was going to say is, if things get a little slow this morning, we'll just start passing this ball around the room. How's that sound? Like in a ball game? We can do that. Or the airplanes, I guess. Speaking of not forgetting dates, y'all know what next week is, right? Next week is Mother's Day. Don't forget Mother's Day, right? That's a word to the wise. And we're excited about Mother's Day. The next Sunday after that, May the 20th, will be graduation Sunday. And we'll be honoring Hannah Kroger, who graduated college, I think this past weekend. And then, of course, Austin Adams will graduate high school at the end of this month, or first of next month. And we have a guest speaker who's going to come and speak May the 20th. You might know him. His name is Tony Stowers. He's going to be in town, and Tony is going to speak that Sunday. We're very excited about having Tony back to fill the pulpit that week. So there'll be a dinner after that to honor our graduates. So make plans to stay for that, and it'll be a very good time. Well, this morning we're going to continue talking about what we've been talking about most of this year, and that is examining ourselves. Where are we in our Christian walk? In 2018, are we growing in our faith? Or have we fallen behind? And we've done this by looking at some of Satan's most effective tools, the tools he uses on us to try to tear us away from God. We looked first at unforgiveness. We looked at the tool of doubt. We looked at the lie that he tells us that we have plenty of time to get things ready before Christ returns. We looked at the tool of anger, greed, fear. We looked at self-deception and ways we can be guarded from it. And last time, we had the unity service last week, but the week before that, we looked at the tool of arrogance. We never want to be arrogant before God. And today we're going to discuss the tool of discouragement. Before we do this, though, I'm really glad to have Jim Holliday here with us today. It's very good to have him. I just saw you there, Jim. Jim's been in and out of the hospital with heart-related issues, and we've been praying for him. We're glad you're here. Feeling a little better, I guess. Good deal. Well, once upon a time, Satan decided to have a garage sale. Y'all ever had a garage sale? It's a lot of fun, isn't it? You put a quarter on something, and someone wants to negotiate with you and pay 10 cents, right? It's a lot of fun. Satan decided to have a garage sale. He wanted to clear out some of these old tools to make ways for the new tools of his trade. Well, the man came by, and he started looking at the inventory, and Satan had all the tools laid out. He came upon the first tool, and it had a tag on it labeled anger, and the price was $250. The man looked at the next tool, and it had a tag on it labeled sloth, and it cost $380. The next tool was criticism. It cost $500. Next was jealousy. It cost $630. Then over in the corner was an old, worn-out, heavily used tool, and its price tag was $12,000. And the man said, "Hey, why is this worn-out old tool priced so high?" Satan said, "Well, that's the tool I've used the most. It's the tool of discouragement. And you know what? That tool will work when nothing else will." Discouragement is defined as the lack of or the loss of confidence or enthusiasm. Dispiritedness. Do you ever get discouraged? Have you ever had times in your life when you've been down, feeling discouraged? You know, discouragement is something that happens to all of us at one time or another. Maybe you're dealing with it this morning. It is a fantastic tool for Satan to use to try to tear us down and tear us away from God. We become discouraged for a lot of different reasons. But for the Christian, if discouragement is left untreated, it can cause us to give up and give in. It can cause us to fade back into the place from which we came, which is the world. And that is Satan's goal for us. He wants us to go back to the world. But God has a much greater goal in mind for us. He wants a better life for us here. But he also wants us for eternity. Think about that. What causes you to get down? What causes you to become discouraged in your walk? Well, today we're going to look at some common reasons as to why we might face discouragement. These reasons are not complete. There are many reasons we might be discouraged. But what does God say about these reasons? How do we handle this tool of discouragement? Reason number one, we get discouraged sometimes because bad things happen to us. Does that make us discouraged when bad things occur? You know, Satan only goes after things or people who threaten him. So if you're being attacked by the devil right now, you must be doing something right. You ever wonder why lost people seem to be prospering while you as a believer might be struggling? Well, the reality is, Satan doesn't have to work to try to get us if he's already got us, right? Satan doesn't have to work at people who don't threaten him. You remember Jesus, he was tempted by Satan. There's no greater threat to Satan than Jesus. And when we are busy imitating Jesus, following in his footsteps, we're going to be threats to Satan as well. 1 Peter 4:12 tells us, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." We shouldn't be surprised when bad things happen to us. But we should know that our God, who overcame everything, even death, he's with us in those times. We see plenty of examples in Scripture when God took bad things that happened to his people and turned it for good. You remember Joseph? Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery. But then we read later that his brothers are coming to him. He's now what? He's second in command, right? He's ruler of all of Egypt. Pharaoh's given him all this power. And they're coming to him in the family. And his brothers are scared. And what's he tell them? Don't be afraid. What you guys intended for bad, God did what? God made good. God still does that today, church. Bad things happen. They always will happen, right? Don't give up on God when they happen. Don't get discouraged with God, but watch God. Watch him work through you and through that situation to bring him glory. Another reason we get discouraged is because we believe at times our future looks bleak. Have you ever been there? I have. It happens to us. Sometimes in our lives, we might believe that our future looks bleak. And you might what if your life to death. Y'all play the what if game in your minds? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if she does this? What if I don't do this? And when we do this what if game, we get to the point where we wonder why we even got out of bed in the morning. Am I alone? Do y'all do that too? It happens, right? And we get worried about our future, and we get worried about what lies ahead. I want to read a very familiar verse, and this verse should give us comfort. You all know this, Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." For the believer, God has plans for you. Do you believe that this morning? He has plans for you. He has a future for you. So if your future, if you're thinking about your future and it looks bleak, then you're thinking about your future without God. Because a future without God is bleak. But a future with God is full of promise and hope. We're told he has plans for you. These aren't plans that are going to harm you. They're good. They're plans to give you a prosperous future. And he has a home in heaven waiting for all of us. That is your future. Don't let Satan lie to you and get you to believe that your future looks bleak. Because your future is full of promise and hope if you belong to God. Another reason we sometimes get discouraged is when we fail in our faith. You know, when we feel like we failed in our faith, we can get discouraged pretty quickly, can't we? That really discourages us. And when we do that, when we know we've walked away from God, Satan gets into our heads and he tells us all kinds of lies. He says, "Man, you blew it. You can't go back. God doesn't want you. You've walked away." But you know what? God never says that. God says he wants you. We will all at some point fail in our faith. We all mess up, right? We all screw up. But the question is, what do we do about it? Well, you know, you look at Peter. Poor old Peter. He failed Christ, didn't he? We know he denied Jesus. He blew it, right? And we often look down on Peter and we say, Peter, man, you were there. You saw the miracles. You walked with him. You laid eyes on Jesus. How could have you done that? But you know what? Peter blew it. But Peter didn't give up. Peter sought out other disciples. He returned to what he knew was true. He went back to Jesus, and you know what? He became a very important servant in the church, right? We still read about him today in the lessons that he teaches. He didn't let his discouragement get the best of him, but he turned back to God, and he relied on other believers. He overcame his failure. You know, Judas also failed Jesus in a very big way. He did this by betraying Jesus. And when he felt remorse, where did he turn? You look at Matthew 27:3, it says, when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders. Judas blew it when he realized that when he had remorse, when he felt discouraged, where'd he go? He went back to the chief priests and to the elders. He returned to the world. And the world didn't have anything to offer him, did they? They say, hey, this isn't on us. And we know Judas took his own life. Two men, Peter and Judas, both failed Jesus in a very big way. Both men were remorseful. Both men obviously were discouraged by what they'd done. One man, Peter, he turned to Jesus. The other man, Judas, he turned to the world. The lesson we learn, if we feel like we're failing in our faith, we need to follow the example of Peter and turn back to Jesus. Surround yourself with other Christians like Peter did to draw on their strength and to get encouragement, to help them lift you up as we lift up each other. Seek God. Pray to God in those times when you feel like you failed in your faith. He will help you overcome that failure. Don't fall into Satan's trap of believing that discouragement is the answer. God wants so much more for you than that. Amen. Amen. Making sure you're still with me here. It's raining out, I know that. Another reason that we sometimes get discouraged is we believe that our problems are just too big. Have you ever felt like that? Things are just too messed up. There's no hope. I just don't care anymore. No one understands how big my problems are. A wise man once said, don't tell your God how big your problems are. Tell your problems how big your God is. You know, God's word helps us when we feel like that. When we feel overwhelmed, when we feel discouraged, when we feel like our problems are just too big, we got to go to his word. We're promised what his word is. Psalm 119:105, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. When you feel like your problems are too big, pray for wisdom, pray for direction, and listen for God. Sometimes we're too busy wanting to do all the talking. I'm guilty of that. Listen for God. When he says amen. He's going to help you through your problems. No matter how big they are. You know, the problems may not turn out how we'd like them to. They may not cease to exist. They may not even resolve in this world, in this life. But you've got a God who's going to help you through it. And there's no problem you face that he doesn't already know all about. There's no problem you face that he hasn't conquered. When your problems get too big, don't get discouraged. But get to God and seek him, seek his word. Another reason that we sometimes get discouraged is the way the world treats us. We talked about this in class this morning. One reason we get discouraged, especially maybe when we're new in the faith, is the way the world treats us when we're Christians. You might lose your old friends. You might have a difficult time making new friends. You might have a hard time in some situations fitting in at work or in your families even. Jesus tells us in John 15:18, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. You know, Paul shows us a great example of how to handle persecution the way he did. Acts chapter 20, verses 22 through 24, Paul says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there." You ever gone anywhere not knowing what's going to happen to you when you got there? That's tough. He says, "I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." Paul says, yeah, bad things are going to lie ahead. I'm going to get persecuted. I'm going to be treated unfairly. But you know what? Bring it on. It means I'm doing something right. It means I'm doing what God wants me to. That's hard. Remember, as the old song says, this world is not my home. I'm just what? A passing through. That's right. Remember this when the world treats you unfairly. Your God loves you. He gave his son for you. And he wants you to be victorious. When the world treats you unfairly, remember, this was all part of God's plan. It shows you're doing what he wants you to do, that you're being who he wants you to be. And you know what our job is when we get treated unfairly? When we get persecuted? It's our job to show Christ's love. That's a tall order, isn't it? It's not our job to get even. It's not our job to argue and fight and fuss. It's our job to show Christ's love. Because you know what? At the end of the day, those who persecute you, they're the ones to be pitied. We've already won the victory through Jesus. And we need to show that love to those people who haven't, who don't know him. So when the world treats us unfairly, our goal is to be a good example. Don't get discouraged, but show Jesus. And another reason, the sixth reason we're going to talk about today, that we're not, that maybe we get discouraged, is sometimes we believe that we're not making a difference. You ever been there? You ever felt like no matter what you do, you're just not making a difference? Maybe there's somebody you wanted to share Jesus with, and you've tried to talk to him about him, but you don't feel like you're getting through, and you wonder if you'll ever get through. Perhaps you've been trying to be a good example to show someone Christ, but you feel like you're not making a difference. The lesson we learn from Scripture, never give up. Rob talked about this in class this morning. There's always hope as long as that person's alive. Never give up. You don't know what kind of difference you're making that will pay off later, right? You might talk to somebody about Jesus today, and it may be 10 years before they accept him. But you might have planted that seed that God calls to grow. Have you ever planted something in the church and no one came? That's discouraging, right? You spent time and effort and money on something you thought would be good, and you didn't get the turnout you'd hoped for, or people didn't respond the way you thought they would. If that's happened, has Satan told you, man, you just wasted your time? Don't believe that. That's a lie. That is a lie from Satan. One of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, which reminds us, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." Whatever you're doing for God, whatever service he's called you to do, keep doing it. He'll bless you, and he promises you your work in his kingdom is never in vain. Our work in the kingdom should be obedience-driven, not results-driven. What I mean by that is, we're not in charge of the results. We're to serve. We're to do God's will. We're to listen to him and serve in the ways he wants us to serve. He will take care of the results. The only way we can fall into this trap of, or this category of not making a difference is when we refuse to serve. If you're serving, it matters. Don't get discouraged over results that were never yours to control in the first place. But serve God. Make a difference in his kingdom. You know, we get discouraged as human beings. It happens to us. We get down for these reasons we've talked about. You know, bad things happen to us, and that causes us to get down. Maybe our future at times looks bleak, and We get discouraged, or we fail in our faith, or our problems seem too big. Maybe the world treats us badly, or we feel like we're not making a difference. Those are all reasons that cause us to get discouraged. And there are so many more. But you know what? Jesus didn't come to this earth and live here and suffer and die on that cross so that we could live lives full of discouragement. He didn't come here and go through all that for us so that we could live lives without hope. But he came to give us hope. And he came to renew us every day. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. That outer self, that old self, riddled with sin, it belongs to the world. But this inner self, it's being made more and more like Jesus every day. It's being renewed. Each day, Christians have the chance to be made more like Jesus. From a worldly standpoint, from a human standpoint, this can be painful. It can cause us some strife. It can cause us some confusion. But it doesn't have to be discouraging. God is making you more and more like His Son every day. If that's not encouraging, I don't know what is. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, where do you turn when you get discouraged? To whom can you turn? You know, the world doesn't care. There might even be people in the world who take some delight in the fact that you're discouraged. You know people like that? You have a God who wants to give you hope. You have a God who wants to give you an abundant life here and an eternal life in heaven with Him. Have you accepted His Son? If you are a Christian, but you've fallen away, you know that can be very discouraging. And as we said earlier, Satan gets in your head and he tells you all kinds of lies. He tells you you can't go back. He tells you you've messed up too bad. You've been gone too long. You're not good enough. But God's Word never says that. In fact, God's Word says no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how long you've been gone, I want you back, God says. Remember the prodigal son? Remember that story? A man had two sons. And the father in this story represents God. And the younger son comes to his father and he basically says, and I'm paraphrasing here, Dad, I don't care that you're still alive. In fact, this would be a whole lot easier if you were already dead. Because I want what's mine. I'd like to have my inheritance right now. Can you imagine how painful that would have been for that father? You guys who are fathers, wouldn't that be sad if the kid came to you and said that? But the father grants his son's wish. Gives him his inheritance. And the son then goes away and lives it up. Partying and all kinds of wild living and does things he shouldn't. And then one day, money's all gone. Isn't that what happens to money anyway? It's all gone one day. It's here one day, gone the next. That'll always be the case. He finds himself at a very low point. He's just longing to eat the food that the pigs are eating. Now, I've seen what pigs eat. I don't want any part of that, right? But he's longing for that. Things are so bad, he wants to eat the pods, we're told, that the pigs are eating. So he decides, you know what? I'm going to go home. But I'm not good enough to go home and be restored as a son. I just want to go back, and I hope to be allowed to be at the level of my father's hired servants. I'll just go back and be a servant. That's better than what I'm dealing with now. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like that younger son. You've known what it's like to be a Christian, but you've been away from God, living life on your own terms. Maybe you long for the days when you walked with God, when you had His hope and His love and His peace in your heart. Maybe you want to come home, but you're worried about how God's going to respond. When the prodigal son decided that he was going to go home, his father could have reacted a few different ways, right? He could have said, you know what? Get out of here. I don't want to deal with you. He could have rejected him. He could have been a little ticked off that half his estate was squandered, right? That would have been a reasonable approach. Could have been bitter. But I want to read to you how he responded in Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 20. So he, the son, got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him, ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Then the son said to the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Not only was the father not bitter, but we're told that he actually ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. He gave him the best of the best because the son of his who was lost was now found. That is the response of your God when you decide to come home to him. So if you're here this morning and you've been discouraged and you're worried about how God will receive you, let there be no confusion. He will be filled with compassion and he will run to you and welcome you back. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Are you a Christian? If not, there's no better time than right now to put Jesus Christ on in baptism, to have your sins washed away, to become a child of the King, to have God's Holy Spirit dwelling in you. And if you are a Christian, but you've fallen away, come home to God. He wants you. He wants you back. He wants to restore you. If you need the prayers of the church, that's what we're here for. Just like Peter needed the disciples to encourage him and get him back to where he wanted to be, that's what we are here to do for each other every single day. Might be you today, might be me tomorrow. That's the way life is. We are here to help each other because we know we have a promise from God, a God who loves us, a God who saves us. If you have a need this morning, we invite you to come now as we stand and sing.